Intro.
The intro music slowly starts.
I used to do drugs.
Oh yeah, we have a show.
And I still do. Yeah, we have a show. But I used to too. It's just random nonsense babbling.
Your mother.
Welcome to the Relative Rewind Podcast.
So, another episode, well, it's a series, so yeah, there's going to be episode after episode. We're back with the, well, I can't even get the title straight here. It's been a minute. Well, a week, right?
Yeah, a week.
Yeah, it's been just a week, unlike last time. It was quite a longer period of time. So we're on...
Episode 4.
We're on episode 4, okay, and then we're on episode 15, covering the series of Dragon Ball Super. Again, this is...
Oh, and this is Relative Rewind. We should start with that.
Yeah, exactly. That was literally just going to come out of my mouth. That's what she said.
And I'm Cameron.
My name's Kevin. Why don't you give us a recap of where we've been, and then I'll lead into where we're going.
Beerus is a destroyer god. Goku fight what with fists. Power up, Super Saiyan God. Go on, Super Saiyan God. Fight deity level Super Saiyan. Punchy punch. Galaxy. Oh no. Oh no. Never mind. Then fight more. Then fall asleep. Go away. All right. That's about it.
Yeah, that's really about it. That's and that took us 14 episodes to cover in 3 of our episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. Yeah, that's Dragon Ball for you if you really want to get into it. There. It's in a nutshell. A lot harder to be in a Dragon Ball. So we pick up on episode 15 with, I noticed a quick thing. Obviously, Goku's going to sit there and eat. That's where we open up at. And the thing I noticed there is Chi-Chi's sitting there eating with chopsticks, and he's got a ramen spoon, the flat bottom kind. You can't find those in like Bed Bath Beyond, Walmart, your grocery, your whatever surplus store, whatever. You can't find them. You got to go straight to Amazon.
Why?
I don't know. And everyone knows as soon as I tell them, oh, like Goku's eating out of a bowl when he's eating soup. They're like, oh, yeah, that's the thing. Instead, if I'm like, I want a flat bottom soup spoon. They're like, well, here's Sue's soup spoon. And it's like a metal one. Like, no, I want an oriental soup spoon that's got a flat bottom, not the curved one. Yeah, Amazon only. And it's like $7 to $50 for a set of 6. So it gets brought up as Goku's eating like it always does that he wants to go back to training. Like he always does. He doesn't want to do the 9-to-5 or farmer job that he's...
Which we never see him do.
No. Actually, we will. We will see him do it.
Okay.
But well, not really. But not really. Of course, Chi-Chi says Goku can't train per usual. And...
Yeah, because she said that they had already spent a majority of the 100 million zenny.
Yeah, she's...
And saved the rest. So what did they spend it on? Was it... Bulma's party?
No, I'll bring that up. Actually, I mentioned it later in the notes of another episode, but how much do you really think it costs to feed a Saiyan? Just one, like a week. It's hard to figure out, right? They're shoveling down probably $200 worth of food in one meal, and they eat 4 or 5 times a day, 7 days a week, so it all adds up. And then later you see Chi-Chi walking with like 2-story tall backpack of groceries and then Piccolo's behind her. And it's like, that's where it went. She doesn't have one Saiyan to feed. She's got 2. I think that's where it went because she's not a very selfish or materialistic person. She just wants her family to be safe and succeed. So with that, Goku goes back to farming. Wait, hold on. Air quotes, farming again. And Vegeta chasing Goku as far as training. Like, dude, just stop. You're not going to catch up. You're always one step behind.
I mean, he might.
It's always one step behind, though. Where's the Super Saiyan 3 Vegeta?
Whis tells us a little bit about how the Super Saiyan power can be a crutch and how Vegeta's sort of like bounced ahead of Goku maybe a little bit.
That gets mentioned in later episodes. Definitely does.
Well, because he's got 6 months on Goku now.
On the planet, yep.
Training front. Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, we'll stay on this planet for a minute.
This is very much like this is a very fun filler few episodes. I feel like this is where the series really started to click for me because... What I'll say about the first part of the Beerus saga is that because only 6 months had passed, I was like, I know how powerful they all are, and I know that they don't stand a fucking chance because he's a goddamn destroyer god. So I was like, so the stakes are low because I know that they're not going to destroy Earth. There's no time for them to train, so there's no like, oh, are they going to be able to rise to the occasion other than that? They don't. And then Beerus just falls asleep. And then, you know, now it's like 6 months into the future after there's a bit of a time jump. We finally have a bit more time for them to be like, okay, so now the Earth's not under imminent threat, like always. We finally have some time to, you know, get some goofs happening. Like Mr. Satan being challenged by these people from the planet Snack, some alien ambassadors and their champion challenging him to a fight.
Was it, what exactly was it? Was it Smack? Smack? Speck?
It's Snack. S-N-A-K.
Still gonna, there's a lot more of this pointing out the food naming trends. It's still there, and it's, we're gonna see a bit of it here in this episode, or not this episode, our episode, on the show.
Yeah, and Galbi is their champion, so they basically are super afraid of dogs, and they basically heard on the other edge of the universe, or galaxy, or whatever, they're like, oh, well, we heard that you exhausted Lord Beerus in a fight, and we came to pay tribute to you, Mr. Satan. And they're like, is this guy for real? He seems to be hiding his power. Then they see the giant golden statue, and they're like, oh, well, he must be a god. So they're like, we would be honored if you would fight our champion, Galbi, which is a form of Korean barbecue. Galbi is.
Ah, good catch there. Real good one.
Well, thank the Google machine.
Nice. I'm in the process of looking up something right now, too. Let's see.
I think the best part of the episode was Mr. Satan sort of being like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And
okay, so actually, to backtrack just a quick second here, the equivalent here, I've just looked it up, 1 million zenny to dollars, $567. So yeah, you can blow that in on a day's groceries feeding 2 Saiyans.
How did they manage before they had 100 million zenny?
I don't know. It seems like their scale is more like the 80s. Like a $20 in the 80s for us could last you a week. Now it's $20 a day on just drinks.
Inflation, cost of living go up. Song about things.
Always, it's the helium. Oh, yeah. Okay, so I just clicked it on in the background, and it does actually a close-up of those the soup spoons, the flat bottom soup spoons that I was talking about. It's at like 2 seconds in right after the title.
Oh, well, I would have never noticed that without your,
you would have never noticed a close up.
No, I mean the soup spoon thingamajiggy.
Oh, the specific style.
Yeah. I can see it on your screen now. Yeah.
Yeah. Here, I'll rewind and give you a demonstration instead of setting it up to share my screen.
This will go great for our audio format.
Yeah, exactly. It'll, well, for the people out there, just Google Oriental Soup Spoon.
Oh, come on, do it.
There we go. I don't know how well you can see it, but I'll try and pause it here just to educate you. Can't just talk. Okay.
To edumacate me?
Yeah, to edumacate you. It's coming up here. Of course, the pan down to the house. There goes Goten. Right there. You can't really see it.
Son of a person.
Yeah, you can't really see it, but it's right there.
Son of a San.
It's, yeah, it's, well, now it just looks like my microphone's going into Goku's mouth. So, okay, moving on.
Well, he would eat it.
Yeah, he probably would just crush it. There's no doubt about it. So where did we leave off here? We've got...
Goku can't fight. He needs his tractor fixed. And he stops by the fighting arena where Mr. Satan's being challenged, and he's like, this is one of my students. You should fight him. And then Goku sees Chi-Chi because he needs his tractor fixed. And he's like, Bulma couldn't help me. And you're a worldly guy. I figured you'd be able to help me. And he's like, how about you fight this guy? And he's like, but I can't. Chi-Chi said I couldn't. And then Chi-Chi, who's out grocery shopping, stops by with Piccolo. And he's like, oh, no, I got to go. And so he gets Mr. Satan to punch him and pretend that it, like, crushed his cheek or whatever, and then he flies away, and he's like, oh, no.
Oh, yeah, he flies away, and as he flies away, he realizes, and he even says it out loud, he's, like, floating slowly backwards with his eyes closed, and then tries to drop out of sight, and he goes, I forgot my tractor. Floats out of sight, comes back up, he's like, oh, it hurts so much.
Oh, and I do like that Mr. Satan mispronounces Beerus's name to Beebus. Or Beavis, whatever he says.
Beavis, yep. He does that just to flaunt himself. Always just to flaunt himself. Let's see here. To backtrack, just a slight sec. The nice ass-wiggling honor dance that the ambassadors do?
Yeah.
every culture and every world's a little bit different, you know? You just got to point that out. It's worth mentioning. It's worth the Google and the YouTube for it.
Yeah, it's only about 20 seconds. And then they do it again because as soon as Mr. Satan's like, I'll just have to fight him on my own. He manages to, like, what was it? The guy, Galbi punches him or he punches Galbi, and then there happens to be a dog right there.
Yeah, what it was is Galbi, he was looking at Mr. Satan, but because he's like 3 or 4 feet taller, he saw over his shoulder and down, and then he saw Mr. Satan's little tiny dog, B. So he got afraid because he's a dog species, and to see a domesticated dog, it terrifies him. Because it was even mentioned on the way to the planet, or on the way to Earth, it was brought up, are there any on this planet? And then it showed like a poodle. So they were like, no, there's nothing. And they all run away terrified and afraid of being enslaved.
So Mr. Satan lucks out again and manages to not be exposed as a fraud, like always.
And the episode concludes with Chi-Chi pissed at Goku, as always, every single time Goku. He tries to fight. And he ends up sleeping outside.
He even says, I'm really going to have to sleep outside tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he just curls up right by that little, shed or something right there. So that brings us into episode 16. So 15, it had its highlights, it had its low points, you know, but all around.
I love a good filler episode of DBZ. I mean, it's got a sense of humor.
And that's the thing right there is you were saying it's a good filler episode. That's what makes the biggest difference. There's really a fine line of good and bad fillers.
Especially when it comes to, like, well, in Dragon Ball Z specifically, there's a lot of bad filler episodes. For all the amazing ones like Goku and Piccolo learning to drive, there's going for a walk with baby Gohan or Goten and being like, isn't it great that Cell isn't trying to destroy us right now?
Or 5 episodes of just stupid, stupid dialogue. Just sitting there, just shit-talking more or less for 5 episodes. In the end of the original Frieza saga in Z.
Oh, God.
Horrible.
That whole thing is like...
It was horrible. I mean, but we were kids in the 90s. We're like, oh, yeah, it kept us watching. Monday through Friday, it was the same damn fight and conversation. On the same dying planet that only had 2 minutes. Left. I don't know.
Time dilation?
Continuity error? I mean, unless you're really using those fighting powers to slow, like, speed up your talking, and you're just, like, 5 days worth of talking. Like, I don't know. Something like that. So, leading into episode 16, we start off, this brings us back to our show's last episode. Supreme Kai notices 2 planets just up and vanish. They're not where they're supposed to be anymore. So Grand Elder, and it kind of slowly pans over to, like, Grand Elder Kai getting oogly-eyed, staring off into the galaxy somewhere. And the best part...
It's a horned beetle fight that he was watching, and you think he's watching...
Yeah,
like,
I was starting to quote it. He's
nudity.
He's like, ooh, it's the best part! And then the other one comes over, or Supreme Kai comes over, oh, look, a shooting star! And he's like, oh, he lost! It's a horned beetles match. What'd you think it was? But he did it in such a way, the same Master Roshi-esque way that you pointed out. It's the exact same kind of character. Something about old people in animes. They're always perverted.
Yeah, it's almost like there's nothing else for them to do in old age or way to write them from an anime perspective. You just think, well, I guess we could have them be horny.
Yeah, I mean, if you...
Well, because they can't have them be hungry because all of the younger characters are hungry. So they need to give him another base
that
desire.
That starts with the letter H.
To, like, have to satisfy. Yeah.
Oh, God. So, yeah, something about them old people. It must have been written around the same time Viagra came out.
We're also sponsored by Viagra and Cialis.
Thank you, Pfizer, and whoever the hell makes Cialis. What about Roman? Get Roman.com. You don't even need to go to the doctors. You just have a chat box with them. They're like, hey, my dick don't work. Like, okay, you get a boner pill in 2 days. Anyway. Not sponsored. Wish it was. Be a lot more uppity.
Oh, and isn't this where Krillin asks Goku to punch him?
He demands. Yeah, I was getting to that. He demands. Yeah, so you were saying we never see Goku farming, right? Well,
right.
Here's where we kind of do. Goku is on a tractor napping, not staring at all, again. And Krillin shows up and they reminisce about the old days of training. And basically it gets to the point of just how Krillin can never physically or on any level catch up to Goku. And all Goku does is just widen the gap between the two of them, power-wise. And then it leads into, out of those memories, Krillin asks, more like demands Goku to punch him as hard as he can. And Goku reluctantly does so after smashing Krillin through 5 or 6 houses and a mountain. Goku uses instant transmission to try and save Krillin, but it's like 6 feet
misses.
Off. Like, dude, you can go directly to King Kai's kitchen. To the chair, but to save your like best friend you've known your whole life, you're good.
Although to be fair, King Kai's planet is much smaller.
This is true. So I mean, I guess gravitational pull and curvature of the planet. I don't know. That's
yeah. Let's get a physicist on, and we can talk about the.
Can we get Bill Nye as a guest on here and explain how, or Neil deGrasse Tyson? He would be a better one. He'd explain it in a weird way. He'd be like, dude, it's real fucking weird. Like, okay, that's how we want to hear it. We don't want anything else weird said by Bill Nye. I hope we never hear anything about that, though.
Hear anything about what?
Like Bill Nye, the touching guy.
Oh, is that a thing that's leveled against him?
No, I'm saying I don't want to hear that be a thing.
Oh, okay.
He's like the one thing from our childhood that's still okay.
Well, because you know.
Ernest is dead. So, and Leslie Nielsen's dead. So the one thing that is still pure is Bill Nye. He may be weird and not really a scientist, but it's still pure from our childhood.
Well, since you brought up Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's a bit ruined because of the sexual assault allegations leveled against him.
Oh, allegations. Come on.
More than one.
Well, it's always, because then you got Me Too, 3, 17, 19.
No, it's just two.
You know, Android Perfect Cell coming out at 17. I don't know. It's only two. Oh, it's only two?
No,
oh,
no.
Come
Me
on.
Too.
One for each breast?
There's no Me 3 or 4.
Oh, well, can I be the Me 7?
After the intermittent?
I'm going to start the patent
phases
right now.
Happen?
Yeah. So anyway, it goes on with... So Krillin, I love this part, and I actually envy Krillin for getting punched in the face so hard, because I would take a hard smack from Goku. I really would. I'd take a hard smack from him if I could have 18 nurse me back to health. Whether it's a cartoon and she's only like two-dimensional.
You would get an 18 body pillow is what you mean?
If it was a real like 3D, I'd still do it. No, I mean like if it was a in real life 18, or if I was a cartoon, or if it was like a Roger Rabbit type situation.
And then for the
Lola
Bunny
I would take a Goku slap for that. Yeah, having half my skull crushed, I would use the other like fractured orbital bone to like, be like, oh, it's 18. I can die now.
Oh, I didn't realize you were such a fanboy for 18.
Oh, yeah. Who isn't? Who isn't? It's 18. Why does this keep going back? It keeps going back an episode for me. Okay, so Goku and Vegeta resume training. Cut to Whis and Bulma doing what else? Eating. And Bulma was not...
Yeah, she's taking Whis on a food tour of
and she's so
wherever they
blunt
live.
About it. She's sitting there. She's not subtle at all about using food. Even telling him to, like, straight up to his face, she's using food as bribery to gain his indispensable friendship.
So that if Beerus wakes up and wants to destroy Earth again, Whis might say, oh, well, don't do that.
Exactly. They both
and I liked it.
They both love how good Earth's cuisine is. And they only, it hints that there's other planets and universes that have, like, maybe 4 or 5 meals, and that's it for the whole planet. Earth, we have new ones every single day. It's unlimited, basically. And this is where it comes into play, where it's showing that Whis is actually, he actually admits that he's more than Lord Beerus. Beerus is like assistant. He's his teacher, but it's all, he doesn't say this, but it's kind of hinted more. It's like, he's more like a handler than a teacher, followed by Whis or Vegeta for the second time out of a handful of times, kneels to Whis and begs him to be his student on the terms by Whis that he will one day become a destroyer god. So that's kind of a deal with the devil, don't you think?
Yeah.
But fitting for Vegeta.
When Goku goes and trains with him, though, he doesn't say, oh, Goku, you have to be a destroyer god. He's just like, I'll be your teacher.
He doesn't say, yeah, it's not mentioned quite yet. It just kind of is assumed or forgotten about. One of the two. It's a 50-50 shot on that.
So it comes back later, I assume?
It does. Yeah, it does.
Vegeta can't even crack an egg, can he?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Is that... Yep, that's right. I totally skipped over that.
He's like, you'll have to try my food.
Yeah, he's like, because he's so strong, he's trying to be so gentle with an egg. And that's actually a big test, too, with those actual, like, strong men and, like, bodybuilders and stuff. You get to the point where you just get, like, a kind of a death grip. You can't feel how strong your hand is anymore, and you will crush everything without even trying. So this episode, 16 ends with Vegeta and Whis flying to Lord Beerus's world.
And then we do the time warp again, and it's 6 months later.
Yep. Pan is born. Going from the time that the Z Fighter saved, or Goku saved Earth from Beerus, having that big clash, to the time that, what, two episodes ago, episode 15 now. There was 3 months between there, because here on episode 17, Pan's born, which it doesn't actually, she doesn't look like an infant. She maybe looks a month or two old. So we're fast tracking a lot on this, this part.
How far along did they say Videl was when they did the Super Saiyan God thing?
Weeks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was only a few weeks. So we, open with Mr. Satan, and I hate calling him Mr. Satan, but people like you didn't know his first name was Hercule.
Oh, I knew his name was Hercule. I just remembered that his name was Hercule.
Yeah, if it wasn't you, then it was probably my girl that, oh, I can hear that. You better get that. It might be your mom.
No, just an alarm.
Oh, okay. So it's Mr. Satan and Gohan as Gohan and the Great Saiyaman, which he finally makes a return to that character.
I never thought that we'd see the Saiyaman.
I know. It's just cool to see it pop up here and there. It happened for a bit, then it's kind of not talked about.
Because that was one of the, speaking of kind of useless filler arcs, that was one of them.
It was, but talk about just dragging on.
Just like the World Tournament one where, not the one where Goku's in outer space after he dies, but the one where Videl is fighting Spopovich and Yamu, who were, like, given the Majin symbol, like, right before Boo. It was, like, the Babidi Saga, right? Like, during or before that?
Yes, yeah, it was. It was something around there, yeah.
Yeah, like, that was just, like, there's going to be a whole bunch of fights that are really low stakes, and then...
That was kind of the big...
Then maybe we'll get to something.
That was more or less, like, the heyday of the Great Saiyaman, wouldn't you say?
Because that's, like... Well, that's, like, way after, like, because chronologically, it's right after they destroy Cell. After Cell Games. And then Gohan's a lot older. Goku's dead again, right? And then Gohan's in, like, college or grad school, and then he becomes the Saiyaman because he hasn't been training for years.
And he misses fighting a lot more.
Yeah, and that's when he meets Videl.
Correct.
It's been a long time since I've seen any Saiyaman episodes, but...
Exactly, that's why it's cool that it's kind of like polka-dotted throughout the series in this one.
Yeah, and so he and Hercule are kind of like, and then tossing Pan around.
And that's until Chi-Chi shows up while Pan's up in midair, and these two guys are play fighting over her, and they're constantly, like, pinballing her back up. Not fast or hard or anything like that, just knocking her up in the air, and Chi-Chi's the one person you don't want to do that kind of crap with around.
I certainly wouldn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't do anything to annoy Chi-Chi whatsoever. So Chi-Chi's yelling her lungs out, and then after yelling, Gohan tells her she can't yell like that because it's not safe for Videl. It could scare her. And that just makes Chi-Chi blow up because
she's like, you're in here throwing a baby around. You're being irresponsible and telling me I don't know what to do.
She can't even hold her head up yet. And Gohan's like, oh, well, she's a Saiyan. She might.
Oh, she could take it. She could take it.
That. Also, Pan doesn't have a tail.
She's half Saiyan. Only full Saiyans do that. No, 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 no. She's quarter Saiyan.
Oh, okay.
That is... Oh, it's assumed that they cut it off at birth because they know better now. Because Gohan is half Saiyan, and he had a tail. Goku's full Saiyan, he had a tail. That's why I think it's assumed at birth that they cut it off. They already knew because of Goku and Gohan's experience. Hey, just cut it off at birth. Yeah, I bet it was.
Yeah,
I bet it was
Piccolo
or it was Yajirobe who came out and did the Saiyan circumcision, if you will.
Yeah, we're gonna get that foreskin.
Gonna cut
and
your
that
penis
other one.
And your
tail. Oops, which one was I supposed to cut shorter?
Well, except for Panda's a girl.
Which I spotted something here. Last episode, it was Gohan came home, and Pan, Videl was sitting on the couch, and he's like, "I'll make dinner," and he was surrounded by a bunch of pans. And this is just before she was starting to really show. Like, they animated on certain angles that there was a little bump there, but he was surrounded by Pan. So there was a little bit of an Easter egg in that episode.
Oh, because it's like, I don't know, Pan?
Yeah, continuing the food trend, man. It's all about food.
Well, better than grill, I guess.
Well, this is true. What's also true is Chi-Chi's quote here in this episode right here. Do you know how many years it took me to get Goku straight? When was this script written? What year?
1992.
Because that could...
Okay, no, it 92. Wasn't.
Okay,
just...
so that just means... Oh, I was going to say, because that could mean a different thing now. It's like an Elton John
situation. Oh, no, I think she means getting him to be a responsible, not fight all the time guy.
Oh, like a walk the straight line.
Yeah, to get Goku straight. Like, to get him to behave according to the way that she wants him to be.
Because it had me for a split second thinking, well, he does have certain, like, mannerisms and whatnot where... Really? No.
I think she means it in like a, like a military school, like straightening out or straighten up.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But there's that still
setting someone straight.
Millisecond of doubt.
Yeah.
Millisecond of doubt. I mean, it's 2021, but that's why I was like, when was this written? Is probably the more way to put the context in it.
And then we get a very boring armed robbery that damages Bulma's car.
Yeah, and again...
And Krillin's a cop because... Okay.
Well, he misses the action, you know?
Is it me or is Krillin getting shorter?
Or is everybody else getting taller?
Maybe?
No, what it is when you see Krillin, he usually has a shaved head, right?
Right.
So you know exactly how tall he is, but then when he has hair... Because of his hairline on his forehead, he appears to be shorter, and your mind's like, how much of that is actual hair height? Like, picture Kramer, if you will. Kramer had an extra, like, 5 vertical inches of hair to have, like, a white boy pencil haircut or eraser haircut, whatever it's called. And your brain's kind of getting the same thing with Krillin with hair. How much of that is head? How much is that is hair?
Fair point.
Hmm? Yeah. Touche, douche.
And so, but he gives Bulma a ticket for being like a vigilante and driving recklessly.
Was it speeding or driving?
I think it
reckless?
Was driving negligently or recklessly.
Then also, a good quote here too. Arguing with Bulma is like trying to fight a dragon with a yo-yo.
And
how is that?
Well, she demands that Krillin, that if Chi-Chi, who has locked out Gohan, Mr. Satan, and everybody else who was throwing Pan around while play fighting, she's like, well,
they were having a feminist party.
You have to drop the ticket if I go talk to Chi-Chi. And she's like, you want to take on Chi-Chi? That's crazy. And she does, but she ends up bonding with her.
Yeah, all the girls are locked in a house having a feminist party. I was surprised to not see wine in there, but it's a children's show. Although I think I did see some Real Housewives turned down on the TV in the background.
Or whatever, like, the anime equivalent is.
Exactly. There was tears and women drinking out of fancy glasses. So I'm going to assume it was some type of anime Real House nannies, Real House school children. I don't know. But amongst all this girl talk, Bulma blurts out that Vegeta's been... out training with Whis and Lord Beerus for 6 months. Cut to, oh yeah, oh no, freaking Kool-Aid Man entrance by a jealous Goku just busting through the wall like, wait, where is he? What's he doing? He's been where? What? And it finally brings Chi-Chi to give up on trying to resist any kind of training. This woman is straight up bipolar.
Yeah, it was
she's just straight up bipolar.
It was an abrupt turnaround where she's like, no fighting, you have to set an example. Oh, Goku's gonna Goku, ha ha ha. And she just talked about how well she has him trained, like, I set him straight, he's not the same person. He seems like the same person.
He's always gonna go out and fight, even if you tell him not to. He can sense that if you're... He could be on King Kai's planet and sense if she's walking out to the, what do you call that? The farmland or whatever. Oh, man, I can't think of it. The crop yard or whatever. If she's walking out there, he can sense that and be right from King Kai's planet through instant transmission right on the tractor or near the tractor.
Like, oh, hey, Chi-Chi, I was just farming over here.
Yeah, I was just over here pissing wherever I want, taking a break. Why am I so sweaty? Oh, I ran over here real quick.
I was farming real good.
Yeah, I was farming the shit out of myself.
I was farming really hard, baby, just farming.
Farming so good. See the fertilizer?
And here we get.
I was making more.
Goku as a child being like, okay, you'll tell me when Whis gets here, when he comes back to Earth for your, like, your monthly luncheon or whatever. And he's like, is he here yet? 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 And then she's like, here's a phone. Chi-Chi's like, why are you giving him a phone? For a party. Oh, okay, a party. And you know that she thinks that it's like, Goku's gonna cheat.
And of course it's with Bulma.
Oh, and speaking of one thing, I thought
no way that would ever happen.
Yeah, one thing I thought was funny was that Bulma saying that Vegeta was jealous that another man was taking her to lunch, like Whis was taking her out, and he's like, don't be ridiculous, I don't give a damn about that.
He really does not show any kind of emotion toward her. Well, he does. He did in some of our prior covered episodes. He did show that he does care. He just, when it counts, you know, like if she's in a life or death situation, not my Bulma. But here you're going to just sit there and tell her to shut the hell up, woman, all the time. That's love. Here on Relative Rewind, we care and endorse any kind of love.
Sure.
Yep. So Whis finally shows up.
Well, except for bestiality.
You can love your dog, just don't love and be familiar with your dog. You know, don't know what his insides or her its insides feel like.
Their insides, whatever.
Or have your pet know what your insides feel like. We don't condone that either. No, just no.
Yeah, this took a turn.
This did. Anyway, so we're going to make a sharp left as if we're in NASCAR here.
Anyway, so Whis and Bulma, like Whis finally gets there and he's like, all right, let's get our lunch. And he's like, great, will you train me? Whis is like, sure. And then he's like, all right, let us go eat. And then Goku's like, are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Get it to go. Get it to go. Get it to go. Come on. And he's like, and then I won't train you.
It only took 3 times of saying it to Whis for Whis's, like, seemingly everlasting patience to run out. 3 times of Goku saying it.
And he's like, then I won't train you.
Yep. Pull that little mommy stuff in there.
He's like, okay, I'll back off. And then finally, Whis is about to leave. Chi-Chi's like, no going. And he's like, I'm going to go. And then he goes. And then she's like, oh, Goku's going to Goku. And then he's like, are you sure you want to leave like that? And he's like, sure, she'll forgive me.
Concludes yet another yawn-induced, almost,
yep,
build-up.
Well, at least he gets to Planet Namek faster this time.
Cameron mentioned in days before this similar build-up, long-ended, well, really long dialogue filler is very similar to the Dragon Ball Z series where it was Goku traveling to Namek and training on the ship. It's very similar to that, where it was like 4 or 5 episodes. Just get there already. Hurry the hell up. This wasn't 8 to 10 to 12 episodes long.
Yeah, and some of those episodes in Z, I will say, were good because that's when they were fighting the Ginyu Force. And so there was some action happening, and it wasn't just Goku training on the spaceship. But it did last longer. Like that useless guy who can freeze time by holding his breath and then would, like, run away and hide.
The little green guy, he's got, like, 4 eyes and stuff like that.
Yeah. He's like...
Gabor. I want to say it was, like, Gabor or something like that. So that brings us now to covering episode 18. So,
yeah.
Speaking of 18.
It's the best android. And also, it's the last episode we'll be covering in the show today, tonight.
Before moving on to the next saga.
The ramp-up's done. I'll say that. We can say that. And we're going to cover that here in a second. The ramp-up's done. Now we're going to start riding the roller coaster.
Here's the first drop.
I was just gonna drop that bass for you.
Oh no, it's not a dubstep song. It's a show. Oh, so Goku almost instantaneously, as Whis is getting him, he's like, "I gotta pee. Can I pee? Can we stop? I gotta pee." And he's like, "If you pee here, then I won't train you." And he's like, "Oh, I gotta pee."
He's like, "Why can't I just pee mid-flight? We're in space." And he's like, "I do. Nobody condones such behavior."
And then when they get there, he tries to pee on Beerus's planet, and Vegeta's like, you can't pee there.
He had to be reminded that he had to pee so bad.
Yeah.
Really? If you had to pee so bad, you were about ready to lose your dick in the void of space, going who knows how fast, you would think you would remember that until you realize Vegeta's there and how he's dressed and, oh crap, it's been 6 months that he's gotten advanced training and I haven't.
And Vegeta's got an apron and he's also sporting his new gray Under Armour sort of stuff that Bulma gave him. Goku also gets a new training outfit from Whis.
He gets one from Whis. I was kind of anxious to see what the outfit from Whis for Vegeta would have looked like.
Yeah.
Or what it was. Because the only real difference between the gray outfit, or the gray, like, Under Armour outfit, as you put it, that he has on now, as opposed to in the Z series where it was a blue one, the only difference is, like, along the neckline, like, it's kind of a zipped up, extended, like, a miniature turtleneck with a zipper on it now, instead of just being all one piece.
And he doesn't have the power, like the scouter on there like he did in like the first part of Z.
Oh, once he got that the shoulderless armor in Z, he was done with the scouter.
Oh, I know.
He would have completed
him, Raditz, Nappa.
Antique Vegeta one. Exactly. I wish they would have actually done like a Super Saiyan Raditz and Super Saiyan Nappa just in like a hell or alternate version, some kind of what's that called? Another canon of it.
They even brought the Ginyu Force back in Hell, didn't they, in, like, Dragon Ball Z? Like, they're causing problems in the afterlife where they're all dead, and then Goku has to go straighten them all out.
I think he actually, what he did was actually kill the Ginyu Force. They're like, we can't handle this, they're being too disruptive. I know it's Hell, but we do have some standards and regulations. Goku, can you please just kill them for once and for all?
And he does.
Oh, happily does.
And he doesn't get traded places with for 5 episodes into a frog. No, that's Captain Ginyu that trades places with a frog.
That whole debacle of Goku, Ginyu and Goku and the trading bodies and all that, I can see how that took a while. That was an irritating fight. That was a very irritating fight, but that was one that kept you in it, and how frustrating it was. As opposed to just dialogue, dialogue, dialogue.
I mean, it was pretty clever. He just holds up the frog when he knows that Ginyu's going to try to trade places with him.
So we catch back up with the Saiyans on Lord Beerus's planet. Beerus is asleep, surrounded by floating hourglasses and bubbles that, when touched, explode.
Yeah, so Vegeta has to do chores before he gets to training. Part of it is changing Beerus's sheets.
They're not aware, or Goku's not aware, that this is just chores yet. This is like probably, well, didn't really show time, because which hourglass are you going to rate time off of when you're surrounded by them?
The middle one.
Okay, good answer. So, yeah, they're changing the sheets, but how do you change the sheets of a bed while somebody's sleeping on it without waking them up?
Well, because Beerus kind of like floats above the bed a little bit sometimes, and then...
Yep,
he punches at full force if somebody gets too close to him.
He can't control, because he's sleeping, he can't control his power. But they finally manage to do so when Goku takes on Beerus in kind of a sleep fight, and Beerus locks him in a levitation leg lock, and Vegeta feeds Beerus a dried sardine. There you go, you got all that done. While Goku's in pain midair, Vegeta gets the sheets changed.
And also Fishbowl Seer is there again, and they have to clean out the fishbowls, all hundreds of thousands of them. They have to wash them.
How many bowls does he go through a day?
I thought they said just one a day.
Why haven't they been cleaned if there's thousands of them to be cleaned? Then again, no concept of real time, because they're
gods,
deities that they last forever, so nobody's been up there to clean it. Okay. The fish had to clean it themselves. All right.
So then they finally get, after Goku gets his new threads, nice, we get to the lifting what training happened.
The forearm forklift blocks.
Yep.
They are, well, first up's Goku trying to lift it, and he's having a hard time. Then Vegeta's like, oh, it's not that hard. I've done this before. And Whis mentions to him that, oh, yeah, you got so used to it, I doubled the weight of yours.
Yeah, it's very much the reveal of in Yu Yu Hakusho, how the spirit, like the spirit cuffs, it's like, oh, well, he's been having to keep them separated the entire time. That's how he got all the extra power, and he's not getting killed. He's been getting more powerful this whole time.
Exactly. Any kind of stuff like this, a Saiyan gets XP points in real life. So it's not only just pick it up, or curl it,
it's
or do sets
pick
with it.
Up
it's
and do a lap around the planet.
Around the entire planet. Oh, no, oh, if that wasn't bad enough, I'm going to have the road crumbling behind you into that just falls for basically forever into a dimension that's impossible to return from. And here Vegeta says his stereotypical line of, or referencing the task, "That's impossible!" That gets disrupted by, what was it? Something Beerus waking up, wasn't it?
No, it was, yeah, the seer, it was the seer showing up and saying, like, "I don't want you to kill them. I like them." And then Whis is like, "Okay."
And it goes to, or we catch it up later. We see on the planet that there's a castle. It was probably 70.
Yeah, the castle that Beerus sleeps in or lives in, something like that.
Like 70 stories tall. Now, I know the chamber where he's sleeping is super, I don't know, it's probably 4 or 5 story ceiling on that one just alone. But I'm curious if anyone else lives in that castle. If anyone lives on that planet, like caretakers or anything behind the scenes that we're never going to see.
Probably Elvis.
Elvis, okay. Tupac. You know, he's kind of a deity. And so they both are, actually, in their own practices. So it goes into the second part of training, which is trying to actually touch Whis in combat. Just touch him. That's all you got to do.
Touch.
With that concluded and not being accomplished, it's pointed out that Vegeta's weakness is thinking too much.
Right, because, yeah, the next one training thing weaknesses. Is Whis tells them, "All right, now you're both going to come at me with all you've got." And then they're like, "Oh, it's been 6 months and you haven't fought him yet?" And he's like, "Oh, you weren't ready till now, so..." And then he says, like, "You spend too much time thinking about making the moves you're going to make rather than just making the moves you're going to make. And that wastes valuable time. And soon, the more training you do, the faster you'll get. And that'll make you even more powerful."
The less you think, the more your arms and legs and body will move on its own as being automatic. Something along those lines. Now, all of what I just said and what you just said, you really need to keep in mind. There's going to be episodes probably throughout the next 40 or 50 episodes, this is going
to
come back.
Yeah, and he said something similar.
This specific episode.
He said something similar to Vegeta when Vegeta was asking, like, a few episodes back to go train on Beer, like, to be Whis's student, that he said, "Oh, well, if I were to give you any advice, Vegeta, it would be that..." I forget what it was. It was something similar to that effect, that he's...
His cockiness and arrogance or something along the similar lines to that?
Oh, he only focuses on building up his power, like his raw power, when his speed needs to be a focus of his.
Exactly, and that's what led him into what you're quoting him on.
Yeah.
About his body will start moving on its own. Much like it was shown in previous episodes where Goku's, it was his leg or his left leg or his left arm moved on its own. And he caught it. He was like, it felt like it just did it by itself. And Beerus kind of looked at him with a grin like, "Oh, okay. There's something to this. It's a puzzle piece." Those two times, this episode and the one I was just talking about, those two are big puzzle pieces.
Oh, and we forgot to mention that they also have to cut the grass on the Beerus planet. And it grows back every morning.
And that was like probably 6-7 inches long. I thought they were harvesting like crops for a second.
I thought they were just, well, because they were like, "I'm going to go faster than you." "No, I'm going to be faster than you." And then they go really fast. So I assume that they were just getting rid of weeds or something.
Until, like you said, Whis mentions that, "Oh, thank you for cutting the lawn. Too bad it's going to grow back overnight."
Yeah. And then while they're supposed to be sleeping, Goku goes to sleep and Vegeta is like in the dark. He's like, "You're not going to beat me, Kakarot." And he's like just lifting the thing again. You know.
Again, just worried about power and strength, not so much worried about speed.
Mm-hmm.
It's like having Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime bodybuilding days up against Bruce Lee or Jet Li or Jackie Chan in
or Donnie
his prime.
Yen.
Yeah. Somebody who's tiny but fast against somebody who's really, really strong but slow, because it's just power. They don't care about speed. You gotta have that heavy mix of both, but it's such a fine line on them.
And that's sort of the end of this, before Whis is talking to the seer and he's like, "Well, think about a god's power," to the, like, saying why they haven't gone Super Saiyan. that they want to build up their raw power without having to rely on it. Going Super Saiyan boosts your power a certain extent to the height of a tree, and to reach the level of a god, and again, Vegeta and Goku can just now start sensing a deity's power on their own when most people can't. That it's the height of, like, Beerus's castle. So part of what they're learning is to boost their power without relying on the training wheels of going Super Saiyan.
It's kind of building on your foundation and your fundamentals before getting into the advanced stuff. Learning to ice skate before actually jumping into an NHL game playing right wing.
Well, it's like if you're really good at fighting with brass knuckles, but you don't know how to fight.
Exactly.
You gotta learn. Yeah.
Using a gun at 100, 200, 300 yards as opposed to using your bare fists.
Yeah.
There's a stark difference there, obviously.
One requires skill, one requires less skill.
Depending on the situation, one could require a lot more patience. Well, they both can.
Yes.
15 rounds or waiting 3 months for a shot to come that inevitably will never get the approval for.
All right. So then we cut to...
Because that, like you said, that wraps it up. And that cuts into the next part of the saga.
Yeah. Well, at the very end of the episode, we get the lookalike Whis and Beerus blowing up another planet. And then what is it? There is Sorv...
Wait. What do you mean lookalike? Just because they're purple and cats, they look alike? Because Beerus is really skinny, and their names are actually mentioned. Lord Champa, the other purple cat, is a very hefty cat. So not too similar, but still the same species. And then that one had a handler, too. Did you catch the name on that?
Vados or something?
Let me double check here. Yeah, something like that. I can't find it in my notes, but yeah, something like that. What happened after that? They blew up a planet. Oh, they were there just for a set. You see a starship come through, which looked very close to Frieza's, and come to find out, yeah, it's the remnants of Frieza's empire, and the commander who didn't get his... I didn't catch a name in this episode.
Commander.
Yeah. Just the commander goes on to start talking to introduce a new character, and then it gets boosted by what we already said was, what was it? Vados and Lord Champa. And they're sitting in front of this planet for like 5-10 seconds and just blow it up. They're like, nope, this isn't the one. On to the next.
Yeah, exactly how Beerus and
Whis.
Whis were at the beginning of this saga.
We're introduced at the end of this to two separate new storylines. What's the remnants of Frieza's empire and the Frieza Force actually? What are they doing? And how are they still around? Well, there was millions of them, so they're still around, but not very many. And what is this Lord Champa and Vados doing? What are they looking for? We already know that it's a Super Saiyan God, and that was just in a dream. It wasn't a legend, so.
And that will take us into our next saga called the Golden Frieza Saga.
Which is a joy. Let's just keep reaching back into the old Z days and bring back the classic characters who actually were worth watching fight. Didn't have to use special powers. And that's an Easter egg for you, boys and girls.
All right, well, that's all I got content-wise.
You don't have any more content?
Oh, no, I don't have any more Dragon Ball Super content.
You know what we should do is watch one together. When it starts getting like more action-packed, we should do a live watching.
Okay.
Like when it comes down to let's say, if there's a tournament or something like that, like another world tournament, and it comes down to like the finals or the semifinals, we should watch each one live and just record our reactions to it. Screen share. I'll screen share my stuff or my screen or something like that and do that, because those are the ones worth having live reactions for.
Now that we're out of the preamble.
Yeah, now that we're right at the tippy top of that roller coaster, like one or two more clicks to go, and then it's just vroom, hold on dearly. It's going to be a bumpy ride, kids.
Oh, and if you happen to spill anything on your computer, like I did this weekend, put it in a big jumbo-sized thing with rice in the freezer for 24 hours. It'll draw the moisture out, dry it off, and it'll be fixed. Maybe not. If it fries, but that's how I got mine fixed.
So questions. What did you spill on there?
It was one of these.
Oh, okay.
It's so
nice
water.
Fizzy drink. Yeah, nice fizzy drink.
Yeah.
And what was the circumstances of spilling this nice fizzy drink?
I fell asleep on my couch because it was late, and I was drinking one and splish.
Oh, you did like the pouring pass out. You went for a drink and spilled it all down yourself.
Well, yeah, I was like,
Don't you love those moments? You don't remember anything. You just fade off. Yeah, you're just fading off. And oh, shit! Yeah. What the hell? At least as advances our technology, as it can all be fixed with something as low-tech as a plant.
Yes.
Just take this rice, or actually, have you heard of doing it with oatmeal?
No.
Yeah, any kind of...
I've heard of having sex with oatmeal, but not, ooh, you know...
Is that... Okay. Okay. Is that with or without brown sugar?
Oh, definitely with.
Definitely with the brown sugar. Okay. See, now the way I make my oatmeal is I don't use water. I just take two packets, pour it in, and then take some milk until it's level with the stuff, and then throw it in for 2 minutes. Then it's no real milk anymore. It's all soaked into the oatmeal, you know? Add a little splash in there, some maple syrup, and then some brown sugar. There you go. That's delicious. It's actually what you call porridge.
Yeah, but do you fuck it?
No, I haven't tried to. Banana pudding, I've done that. Or what's that called? Banana pudding. It was. Rice pudding felt good.
I've never tried those. Have you ever tried the banana trick, though?
Which one's that?
It's where you take you eat a banana, or you take the banana peel skin, you put it in the microwave for like 15 to 20 seconds, and then you jerk off into the banana peel because it's warm.
So let me get this straight here. So you're warming up a fifi.
A fifi?
A fifi. Yeah, a fifi. It's a, oh crap. It's a slang term for like pocket pussy, a homemade pocket pussy.
Yes.
So it's just a banana peel.
Yes.
So in prisons, they actually give that you have community microwaves, and they still do serve unpeeled bananas. I've never smelled like a heated up. Oh, no, I have smelled heated. You know the smell of heated up banana, though. There's not many people that would put a banana in the microwave or heat up a banana at all.
Well, no, there is no banana. You're just putting the peel in the microwave.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, there's... Okay, if you're putting a banana in the microwave, you're still going to smell warm banana.
Yeah.
Unless you're making a pie or a pudding of some kind, there's no need to heat up a banana. That's like me putting a tomato in the microwave just by itself. Actually sounds kind of delicious, though. Cut the top off, put a little bit of salt in there, 2 minutes on high. A little bit of tuna down in there. Okay, now, actually, that would be a good one. A tomato right on the little stem pit. Cut that out all the way through, you know. Get a nice little boar bit. Stuff some tuna in there. Put it in the microwave about 30 seconds. There you go. That could work like a banana peel, but that's a lot more work, I think, now that I say it out loud.
Yeah, I think the banana one. And it's, like, got the shape.
And it's more natural. I mean, I don't know where I got the tuna stuck in the tomato thing from.
Yeah, me neither. Oh, also, I would encourage everyone to go look up the Neil deGrasse Tyson assault allegations yourselves. There are 4 of them. Look it up and determine their veracity on your own.
The veracity of the Degrassi?
Yes, of the Neil deGrasse Tyson.
The Degrassi veracity.
Yes.
You know, that would be, oh my God, there's a great name for a new podcast for him. The Veracity of Degrassi.
I would never do it. There's
just throwing out free advertising here.
Degrassi episodes. I would never do it.
The only Degrassi, there's a few things I will catch with Degrassi. If he's talking all scientific-y, I gotta be stoned to watch it, but, there's other things he's been on where he's just having a general conversation and he'll slip and be like, you know, someone will ask him in an interview, aren't you tired of people seeing you on the streets? And like, oh my God, it's you. And he's like, yeah, I'm tired of that shit. Oh God, I can't swear. I'm sorry. And they're like, no, man, say whatever the fuck you want. And he goes, I fucking hate that shit, to be honest with you. And it's like, yeah, okay, there's a good interview. He's not being all science-y.
Well, that's all I got. Did you want to wrap it up?
We'll wrap it up. Yeah. I guess that's about it for this series, or this saga. And now we're going to start getting into some good stuff. Like I said, I've already watched a few hundred episodes ahead of you. So, yeah, we're going to get into some good stuff. I got some information on our third guest. That's going to be around the episode 104. So we still got a couple dozen more episodes until that happens. But that is still a key of watch that one. It's really, really good. Really good fighting up 80 to 100. So I can't wait to cover that.
Oh, yeah. I'm just glad to be out of the nadir of the Beerus stuff.
The what?
The nadir. Like, it describes it's like a low point.
Oh, okay. Okay. No, but it's like I said, that Beerus is going to stick around for a while, just like Boo did as a friend.
Yeah, right.
There's still going to be.
We got a friend zone.
There's
Beerus.
A lot of learning. Exactly. It's going to be a lot of learning that he's going to pass on a lot. But also, it leads to a bit of worry. Just like anything with Goku, there's always some god, some deity, something like that, that's like, oh no, we can't. Oh, he's too powerful. He's too arrogant.
Oh, no. Golly.
Yeah, there's always going to be that. Always, always. But with that said, yeah, that's about all I got. All
right, well, that's going to wrap us up this time for Relative Rewind. Tune in for next time, where we continue to cover Dragon Ball Super in the continuing Golden Frieza saga.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Cameron.
And we're wishing you a pleasant evening.
Go fuck a banana, everybody.
Everyone's going to go home now and try that because of you. Everyone's going to. Actually, I don't have any bananas home. I got a couple tomatoes and a couple packets of tuna. Might try that.
Well, then it'll be a tuna melt.
You know, I wonder.
Because you ejaculated.
I've got provolone, I've got Swiss, and I've got American. What kind of shredded cheese would give you that creamy texture in that combination of a tomato filled with tuna? What would
cheddar.
Cheddar? Okay, now I'm just basically describing a sandwich. All I need is the bread at that point. Exactly. Was that a fly or a mosquito?
It was a fly.
Okay. Okay. You got to watch them skeeters.
Yeah, my cousin Skeeter.
Your cousin Skeeter? Skeeter Valentine?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
Yes.
Well, with you in our hearts, cousin Skeeter Valentine, we're going to wrap this up and we'll catch you guys next time. Thanks for listening and tune in next week.
Take it easy, everybody.
And I'm out.